You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
It was too real. You got like some, you have a darkness inside you.
But his darkness is organizing a back line in a pickup soccer game.
Turn on original sound.
It's not my f***ing settings.
Were you rolling natively?
Retracts!
Stugatz, plug in your microphone!
Plug in your microphone!
What are we doing?
So Witty is apparently really into the movie Whiplash, which is pretty telling.
But he identifies with the abusive
I didn't. I just did the line. Yeah. I did the line.
No, but there's something there. He's got a darkness in him.
That's not my tempo.
See,
turn your camera off on the Zoom.
Why did you do it again? We all said we hated it.
Did you mute your screen?
Good movie, though.
Yeah. Never saw it.
We should rank who has the most darkness in us.
I don't like this game.
Dangerous game.
Wow. What kind of darkness? I mean,
yeah. We were talking about Whiplash because. It's Oscar season, and we were talking about Banshees and the Triangle of Sadness, which I thought was about Detroit, Cleveland, and Buffalo. Apparently, it's not. Jocular joke. Thank you. Welcome to Game Theory with Bomani. So we were talking about all that, and Tony is very defensive, as you know.
That's extremely crazy. Defensive.
You call he's defensive and myopic.
Two great qualities. So defensive.
Okay, what am I defending?
Somehow talking about movies turned into like a personal attack between everyone in the room and Tony.
That's usually how it happens. All I said.
But that's not normal.
That's a you problem.
That's not a me problem.
We were talking about the Banshees movie.
What is it? What's the actual title? I don't
Banshees
know.
Banshees of Inisherin.
Of what?
Inisherin. It's an island off of Ireland.
Oh. Okay, so we were talking about this movie. And how Mike's wife tuned out in the first, 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 minutes. She was on the phone.
And then you formed it, like, you started talking about it like you had seen it. And I never even seen it.
I saw
the trailer.
This is what Tony did. He's like, how could this movie be about this? And I'm like, well, did you watch the movie?
I didn't say how.
And he was like,
no. That's mischaracterization.
Let him speak.
Thank you. What I said,
and then we'll attack.
Mike,
well, just for a second, Jess.
Thank you.
Jess, let him bury his own.
This is a great look for us, guys.
Bury his own.
There he goes, Stu. Thank you.
Let him bury himself.
You're on your way. You were going to get there.
You know where to get. But someone cut me off because we're all trying to speak. I went, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Tony, go ahead, bury yourself.
So, Mike was mentioning that him and his wife had saw it. I've seen the trailer for it.
I'm not done with it.
You're not done. Yeah, you're fighting through.
I'm fighting through right now. It's a battle. It's 20 minutes, and I anticipate that there's going to be a turn, because how can a movie be about this solely?
Right. So, I saw the trailer for it at the movie theater, and I was like, okay, this looks like a movie that I would never watch, because it doesn't make sense. I don't get what the plot is. It's like two guys that are just not friends anymore. And I'm like, okay, how do we have a two-hour movie about this? It doesn't make sense to me. I would never watch it.
I mean, obviously, there's more to the film than what you saw
in
the
movie. Sure, I'm expecting. But there's no explosions. There's no...
not true.
There seem to be explosions. There's an explosion? There's a civil war happening, so I imagine there's possibly...
There's an explosion in personalities, like, between each other.
That's also true.
It's a very well-acted film. You have to have the subtitles. Titles on for this one.
I think it's my favorite movie I saw that came out in 2022.
Really?
Yeah.
Over the menu?
It was The menu is up there. They're tied. But Banshees is more of a drama. But it is very funny.
Maverick? I mean...
She didn't see Maverick.
Oh, she doesn't go to the movies
because she can't stop watching her phone, which is why I asked her. So you watched a movie that has basically no plot about two guys in Ireland.
It has a
and
plot.
You didn't watch the, plot. And you didn't watch your phone?
Described a plot.
And it's under 2 hours.
That's. I mean, like, I'll tell you one thing. That is a great rule of thumb to have.
Yes, it is.
Under 2 hours. If it's over 2 hours, you're already on the back foot for me. Like this needs to be amazing to keep me enthralled, because around the 1 hour and like 40 minute mark, I start getting a little antsy.
You've got
like,
another hour 40
more
to go. I mean,
if you do the swipe of the Apple TV remote to see how much you have left.
Yeah.
And it's you're 47 minutes in. Oh.
I did
it's
that
a,
during
it's a problem.
Triangle of Sadness, which actually has very little plot.
I don't even know what that like. What is that?
It's about the Detroit Lions and Cleveland Browns and Buffalo Bills.
It's about Duke, North Carolina, and NC State.
After the break.
Triangle of Sadness is the area on your face in between your eyebrows and your forehead, like where you furrow your brow.
And there's a movie about this?
No, it's just like a term that they use at the beginning of the movie, and then it kind of comes to encapsulate what the rest of the film is about.
So Jessica, you said this was the best movie you saw, this Banshees movie, is the best movie you saw in 2022.
Correct.
I want to go around the room. Everyone submit the best movie that you saw that was released in 2022.
You know mine.
I'll go first. I'll say Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
It really was. And Adnan agrees with her for what it's worth. It's his top movie as well.
Okay.
Wow, me and Adnan.
That had to be hard.
Couple
for
of
Adnan
Banshees to admit.
Holy shit. That's
no,
how great
not
that
Top
movie.
Gun. No, not Top Gun. Banshees. Sorry, I'm saying the
Banshees. Oh, I was going to say, there's no freaking way.
Like, Adnan was fuming that Top Gun got nominated for sound design.
Right.
Like every nomination it got was an escalation of his rage.
No, it got one of the screenplay.
Yeah, it was an adapted screenplay,
and it didn't get nominated for cinematography.
Yeah,
so it's like you didn't think All the Flying was great, yeah. but that script was incredible.
That script that nobody else could have written.
Fair play to Adnan.
Tony, what was the best movie you saw that was released in 2022?
I'm looking through everything right now. I think right now it's Top Gun.
Glass Onion?
Glass Onion was excellent.
I think Glass Onion's probably my top three, maybe top five.
Really?
Thought it was good.
I mean, it was good. It was entertaining. The best movie you saw in 2022?
Nope was good.
One of the best.
No, I saw Nope on the plane the other day. Nope.
Nope.
this Jordan Peele guy, let me tell you something.
Oh, what are we doing?
He's living on that get out, whatever.
Get out.
Yeah.
Get out. Greeny.
Us too. Us was good.
No, Us wasn't.
I liked Us.
Mm-mm.
This was my least favorite Jordan Peele.
You know who he is? I figured out who he is. He's the new M. Night Shyamalan.
No.
Banger of a How first one, and then everything else is just, I'm coasting.
This
I'm
Cabin
coasting.
In the Woods by Knock the first at the one. Door.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, Knock at the Cabin.
The Knock at the Cabin Door or whatever, it looks pretty good. Like, I like it.
Yeah, but
pretty
it's released in February.
Pretty good.
It's released in February.
That's
an M. Night movie being released in February, it's just like a big red flag.
Come on, man. and by the way, every M. Night trailer does that. It's like, okay, I think he got it back with this one, boys. And then you watch it and you're
remember
like,
the trailer for Old?
And everyone looks that so was good.
Old was that and that Sandra Bullock Channing Tatum movie. What was it? The Lost City? Those were the two worst movies I saw.
In 2021?
Well, Old I finally got around to a couple of weeks ago, and holy shit, yeah, that movie is really bad.
The acting is so bad. The acting is, what are you doing?
Like, there is
what
a good
are
movie.
We going to do? He is old now. I'm like, come on,
there's
man.
There's a good movie there, and the acting just totally holds it back.
That's an M. Night movie?
Yes.
Because the worst acting I've ever seen in a movie is The Happening from M. Night Shyamalan.
Mark Wahlberg. I mean.
Holy shit, though.
That's like a metal sand performance for him.
No, it was like high school theater acting in that movie. It was appalling.
Yeah. So, Cody, you were Top Gun Maverick. Roy?
The Woman King.
The Woman King. I think you've only watched one movie this year. It's the only movie that you've talked about.
I saw Maverick.
Top Gun Maverick and The Woman King was better?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to get around to it.
Mike, I'll tell you that Maverick's the only movie I saw this year.
Well, yours is easy.
I just realized going through the Oscar nominations, I don't think I've seen a movie.
That's what I'm trying to do.
It don't have to be Oscar nominated. Like, it could be any movie.
I don't think I watched a movie that was released this year.
I'm shocked you didn't watch Downton Abbey, A New Era.
Oh, my God. They're still making those?
They are, and they're fabulous.
Mike, you're a Top Gun?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Top Gun. Puss in Boots would be second.
You didn't like Unbearable Weight, huh?
I love Pedro Pascal's performance.
Yeah,
in it.
I mean, I loved it. It's a tough one for me, boys and girl.
I haven't seen everything all at once. Everything, everywhere, all at once.
I'm waiting to watch it.
I watched it.
I think everyone. I trust
it's fine.
Everyone that tells me it's amazing, I trust their taste in movies, so I think I'll love it.
It's fine. It's one of those visually very wow. The filmmaking process in this is very well done, but in terms of like a story that I found to be enthralling, not really. It's a tie for me. I think I'm going back and forth between. I really really liked Top Gun, man. It was fun. It was everything that movies are supposed to be. I saw an interview with Tom Cruise yesterday or the day before where he's talking about he watches a movie every single day. And there, I can't remember who was interviewing him and said, why? And he said, man, because I love movies. And it's like, you know what? It shows. This dude loves movies. He loves the movie-going experience. And so it's between that and Liam Neeson in Memory, where he plays a hitman who has Alzheimer's. Oh, my gosh.
What? And, what a terrible job to have Alzheimer's in.
I know, man. The guy gets in. He does a hit. He gets in the car. He can't remember where he put the keys. I'm like, oh, memory.
That actually sounds great. I'm in. Sounds more interesting than two guys that aren't friends anymore.
Yeah, and it was reviewed on Cinepro, by the way.
There's a twist.
There has to be a twist. The movies can't just be about this. I do love those two actors.
Really, it's not really a twist, but things... Like something crazy kind of happens.
Something crazy has to happen.
And it is, I will say, very sad. Like there is a lot in the movie that like you feel things, but the dialogue I thought was hilarious.
Well,
Colin Farrell was fucking awesome.
Well,
I'll say it.
They teamed up for In Bruges, which was also a dark comedy that a lot of bad things happen, but the acting and the performances carry it through. This one's very dull to start. It's one of those movies that I got self-conscious about looking at my phone in because I knew that there was going to be something important that was just said in a pub.
Whispered.
And I couldn't miss it.
Irish brogue.
So I knew my wife, she's totally checked out on the film. So I'm going to spend the next three months trying to finish this.
I think
by
it was
myself.
Really, really, really good. And Kelly Condon was the lead actress in it.
Yeah, she was plays Colin Farrell's sister in it.
Yes. She also got nominated. Like the four main actors that are in the film were all nominated.
My man that plays the Joker in the Batman is really.
Oh, Paul Dano?
No. That's a Riddler. Did you watch the Batman?
I did. I was not impressed.
That was Juju's least favorite film of the year.
I wouldn't say least favorite, but it was. I could not understand. It's the same thing every DC movie.
Yeah.
If it's midway decent. People are like, oh my God, they finally nailed it. Like, come on, man.
I'm with you. That was my review of the Batman. I enjoyed it, and then it dragged on way too long. However, I did recently buy tickets to watch an orchestra play alongside the Batman at the Knight Center. I got an IG ad for it. I love the score in that film.
I did that once in Chicago at Ravinia. I went to see The Return of the King, and it was an orchestra playing the Return of the King score while you, like, camp out.
Woody just said back here, if I did that.
Yeah.
Be normal.
Yeah.
You got Woody just going to movies exclusively to have an orchestra playing, right?
Yes.
He's got to have
100%.
An orchestra.
Is liking music the... property of nerds? Is that, you know?
Liking the score?
I think so.
Going to an
property of a nerd.
Going to an orchestral performance of a movie, it's very witty. Like, is something. Yeah.
You got him wearing a tuxedo with the long flaps.
Have you ever done that, Chris?
No. This is what it takes for me to get to the orchestra. The symphony needs to be the Batman.
It sounds lovely. It sounds like a great way to watch a movie.
Like, I'm not this cultured guy. I just want to see the Batman.
I want to see Theoden give the speech to the Rohirrim. All right, Jesus.
I've got Woody not only wearing the tuxedo with the long flaps going to this, but also sitting in the balcony and having one of those little binoculars that you hold with a stick, watching the movie through that.
Yeah, but while wearing bat horns. Yeah, that'll
still
be
a fan.
Me. But we were talking about this all before we actually went to air with it, and we kind of got on the subject of what's a good movie to be on your phone with? Because I kind of understand why Jess doesn't want to go to the movie theaters because she'll feel guilty if she's on the phone.
I've discovered this formula. It's movies with a lot of talking. Because if it's a lot of stuff without talk, like action movies, you might think, oh, yeah, quite the opposite.
Yeah, but you have to pay attention to the dialogue.
No, I mean, I can look at my phone and listen. But the problem is with the action movie, like I tried watching John Wick the other day. I must admit, not very impressed. This people are fawning over this movie. Get out of here.
The new one?
I love John Wick.
I was watching the first one? I was watching the first one.
The first one has the strongest.
First one was great.
The strongest bond between the character and
I did check out tragedy. A little during the first one.
Super checked out, right? First of all, he doesn't talk for like 90% of the movie.
He doesn't. He's so scarred.
Oh, get out of here with your scars. But anyway, what happened was I'm on my phone and I'm watching this movie. And because there's not a lot of talking, like, I look up, I'm like, oh, what happened? I have to rewind this. Oh, he gave a look or whatever.
That's a brilliant action sequence.
That and also anything with subtitles, because you can't, like, again, you have to have your eyes on the screen.
You need subtitles for Banshees.
No, I know. I'm saying that's not a good phone movie.
I didn't
movie.
Use subtitles, and I was fine.
Oh, man. I thought I was fine, and
That's just because I went to Notre Dame. #FightingIrish.
Boo.
Everything you do is Irish. It's crazy.
Every movie needs subtitles.
Not even
if I can put subtitles on, I'm putting subtitles every movie.
Yeah. Like, why are you guys doing that? Like, my kids do that. It's annoying.
No, it's not annoying.
Listen to the movie. Stu? I don't want to read the movie. I mean,
I feel I digest it better. I don't know.
I'm with you, Chris.
I don't need subtitles for Top Gun.
Yeah, but then you're focused bottom screen. Something happens and you miss it.
No, you're just reading.
Musical emoji. You've lost that love and feeling.
You're just reading when you need it. You're reading when you need it.
Here's one thing I don't like. When they do the subtitles, like someone speaking in another language, they do subtitles, but they try to be fancy and they put it on the screen.
That's what Banshees did.
No, just give it to me at the bottom. Yep. Don't be fancy. Don't be artistic with it. Just give me the information. I don't want to be reading here and reading there and everything.
I will admit, I did turn on the subtitles for like 5 minutes and then Lee was like, absolutely not. And
really?
I was like, fine. And I was fine without them. I think my thing with the phones is if it's a scary movie, I'm looking at my phone and I'm going straight to the wiki page to read what's going to happen during the scary part because I'm a coward. And if it's a long movie and there's not a lot of plot happening, like Triangle of Sadness, like I was on Twitter a lot for the first act of that film because I was like, this shit is nothing's happened yet.
Non-subtitle users judge subtitle users, correct?
I know, that's weird.
It is a very from up on high.
Can we just all exist?
I'm not judging. I'm just asking why. That's all. I'm not judging. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think more people do it than don't.
I use it when necessary. I prefer not to. But when there's a film that's difficult for me to catch all the dialogue, or it's super heavy with the dialogue, and I know that the dialogue is at the very center of everything that's happening with plot lines, like it is with Banshees, and on top of that, there's very thick Irish accents, and just the lingo is very difficult to catch on to. It's essential.
Chris, are you with me? Do you have subtitles on for everything?
Except sports.
Sports. Why not?
Because I...
No.
Because I don't need the broadcasters.
Nope. It's because the captioning stinks and it's slow.
You're doing it live.
There's
a stenographer.
So I'll give you a great example. I like watching Hard Knocks. I have to turn off captions for Hard Knocks because for whatever reason, it's all as if someone was doing it live. I'm like, what are you doing? You had it for a week?
No, they don't have it for a week. They like
Hard Knocks?
They put it in the can like the day of or the night before.
Yeah, like
still time to a means point. They should have the captions, right?
So my first job in media, one of my things I had to do was write out captions for like long videos.
Yeah?
It was the worst job. I mean, some of you guys have been reporters. No, Dan's not here, so that's not true.
Nobody.
But like transcribing an interview.
I'm actively reporting right now.
Yeah, there you go.
Transcribing an interview is so super tedious and annoying, but then doing it for a 15-minute long video, oh my God, it was the worst job ever. I don't envy the people that have to do that for sports or anything.
I've done captioning for like my videos that are like 60 seconds long or whatever before Instagram had that auto caption thing. It's a pain in the ass, man. Like, it's just like, oh, I don't want to keep writing this, but I have to. Like, it literally, like, probably like 3 frames in, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, I give up. It's hard. It's a lot. My favorite thing in closed captioning is when something a song plays or something, and the closed captioning will be like whimsical flute.
Upbeat music, upbeat rap music. Oh, I was like, I don't like when they get too detailed like that. Or even worse, when it's like, the biggest hit ever. It's like Katrina and the Waves. I'm walking on sunshine. It's like upbeat 80s music. Like, you little bastard. How could you not know what song that was? They're literally saying it every 3 seconds. I'm walking on sunshine.
The perfect montage song. Katrina and the Waves walking on sunshine. Great montage song.
That is a good montage
song. What are you guys doing with movies over 2 hours? You won't sit through it? Because some of the greatest movies of all time are over.
Name a couple.
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, that's, yeah. That was
Rain Man. Godfather.
Godfather 2, I'm not looking at my phone. Godfather 1, I might glance at it.
But Stugatz,
Shawshank Redemption.
These are all great movies, though.
You've never watched that without commercial breaks on AMC. Like, there's no
way. It's a 5-hour sitting. No,
you
like
haven't. I have.
That's accurate. I haven't. Same with The Fugitive.
great movie.
I didn't murder my wife.
Movies that you've only seen on cable. Shawshank was definitely. I did not sit down and watch Shawshank until like sitting number 27.
Movies you've only seen on cable. The Replacements.
Great shout.
Oh, wow. TBS. I actually saw that not every on cable. Week.
What? You went to a theater to see that?
I think it was, I saw it on streaming once.
Oh. The Replacements? I can't even imagine it without the commercial breaks.
Yeah, we do the dance
they do
scene.
The dance,
we
do the dance scene
to I Will Survive, and then we go to break, and I go make myself breakfast. That was like every Saturday in 2007.
Face Off, over 2 hours. I mean.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah.
I've come together with a top five. Really? Top five upcoming releases in 2023 I am most excited about.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Wow.
I do have an OLI.
Yes.
So, you know, per tradition. So, OLI, Creed 3.
No.
Did you watch Creed 1 and 2?
I did.
All right, and you're not excited for Creed 3?
I'm not excited for it. I'm going to watch it. I'm not excited for it.
Was Creed 2 good?
Yeah.
Creed 2? Yeah. You haven't seen Creed 2?
I haven't seen it yet.
You know what the plot is?
No.
It's... Ivan Drago.
I mean, I can guess.
It's Drago's son.
Oh wow!
He's fighting against a Apollo Creed's son. It's crazy, dude.
Got to see it.
Yeah,
Stu.
Yeah.
He is a menace, by the way. He should not be boxing.
No,
like he is huge. Yeah. Different weight classes.
Drago's son.
Yeah, Drago's son is crazy.
And spoiler alert: Brigitte Nielsen and Drago both come back.
Wow.
They're both in awe. So guys, I can't believe you've not seen Creed 2.
I'm shocked.
How are you not excited for Creed 3? Considering your excitement for Creed 2. Okay. OLI Barbie.
Barbie?
What?
Yeah, Barbie. Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie.
Is it going to be like Baywatch where it's like we're definitely having fun with this? Or is it like...
They look like they're having fun with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I've heard good things.
Can't wait to go with the
From
boys.
Who? Mattel?
Yeah.
All right, number five, Oppenheimer.
Oh.
Mike, I like your list so far for you saying that I had a 24-year-old palate.
I didn't say that.
Oh, no, that was Jess, my bad.
I said that.
Jess said I had a 24-year-old.
And I would have taken that
I said 24-year-old
like,
boy's palate.
And then I said college freshman's palate.
Oppenheimer,
which
definitely.
Which is 18, by the way.
Definitely is going to be 2-plus hours. I can feel it.
But I'm going to enjoy it.
I just hope it's not as confusing as Tenet.
Tenet was bad. I still don't get it.
I still don't get it.
I'm going to watch it still. Tenet? I just need something good to look at on my phone while I'm doing it.
Yeah. Number four, John Wick, Chapter 4.
Hell yeah. That boy.
I'm out.
Number three, Cocaine Bear.
Everyone's excited about that one.
May rent the theater for that. Number
really?
Two, 65.
What's that one?
Adam Driver is a spaceman in the future, and something happens with his ship, and it crashes on this alien planet. However, it's not an alien planet. It's Earth 65 million years ago.
Oh,
so dinosaurs versus future technology.
What?
Hold on. Wait, they've done this movie before, though.
No.
This movie's been done before.
No. There was After Earth.
You're thinking of the Will Smith movie where they see Earth.
I'm not a coward, you're
the coward.
That's in the that's future though.
Got it.
Because it's after
this
Earth.
Is yeah.
Okay.
This is
before Earth.
Yeah, okay. This is him hunting like raptors and shit with lasers.
I'll pretty much so watch sick. Adam Driver do anything.
Yeah, so
he's
right.
Acting so his ass off always.
So sick. What's gotta have long hair.
What's Cocaine Bear about?
Number one. Okay. This one's easy. Come on, guys. Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning.
Oh man.
Excellent.
Mike,
I will find out if the government disavows him.
Mike, I sent you that video of him like practicing that motorcycle jump.
It was very cute that you thought that was the first time that I had seen him.
No cat person
off
on your list.
Side of a mountain. No,
you guys don't remember Cat Person?
No, what's Cat Person?
It was a New Yorker article that they're turning into a movie.
Is it? Wait, the person who was having
dedicated
the plastic
cat
surgery?
No.
Oh, it's not Maureen Ponderosa?
I don't know who that is, but no. It was like a short story in the New Yorker about a girl who's dating this older guy and he has cats. And it was just kind of like a weird, like funny short story thing, kind of creepy a little bit. And it got tons of people read it and really liked it. Now they're turning it into a movie.
Well, OLI. We'll add that there. But how can you not be, especially considering that Tom Cruise delivered on the expectations for Top Gun Maverick? You know he's got a nail
Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1. It's a bit of a mouthful.
You're setting the bar too high.
I'm
though.
Very excited because that means that there's going to be Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2.
I know, but he's bound to have a dud, isn't he?
These Mission Impossible sequels have hit every single time.
Even MI2, which has not aged with grace.
MI2 is bad.
MI2 is bad, especially.
I'm saying like after 3, I haven't seen 3. 3 is the only one I haven't seen. I still haven't seen that one. No, but from 4 on, they're incredible.
3 might be the best one, but in the moment, I enjoyed 2.
Stugatz,
Mike, I think Rocky 4 was the best of the Rockies.
No, 3's not the best one, just because there have been other films since then.
Here's my thing. I love these movies. I love them. Every single one. I go to the theater. I watch them all in the theaters. I, for the life of me, cannot tell you the plot to any Mission Impossible.
He gets disavowed
by the
government. Doesn't happen in Part 2. Part 2, he's trying to stop the spread of a deadly virus.
That's why it sucks. That's why that's the worst one.
No, it was just very much of a time. It was directed by John Woo, and it looks corny compared to the other ones, which have a more realistic approach. But Mission Impossible 3, that's what really reinforced that, this franchise has legs, because Philip Seymour Hoffman knocks it out the park and is the best villain of the franchise.
What's your issue with John Woo?
I said I love John Woo.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I love John Woo is what I said.
I mean, Mission Impossible. So listen, here's the deal, just to clear it up.
You love John Woo, but you don't like the John Wick films, which are
inspired by
John Woo.
I found out that the director is like a former stuntman, and he's like, oh, I could do movies too.
Those are great, though. Extraction was also directed by a former stuntman, and that was great.
It was boring, too.
Are you kidding me? Extraction? The guy's last name is Rake, and he killed somebody with a rake.
Spoiler, Jesus.
No Ant-Man Quantumania for you, huh?
Man, I'm going to get people angry at me.
No.
This multiverse thing, I was so worried about it because it can get messy. Everything's in a green or blue screen. All the films are starting to look the same. It's starting to lose me. The CGI is starting to be overwhelming to the point that it's just a big blur. And that's what Quantumania looks like to me. I'm going to give it a shot because I have faith in the actors, and I think this is the opportunity that they have to kind of right some of the wrongs previously, but I'm worried about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
You said his last name was Rake and he killed someone with a rake?
He did.
That'd be like if Stugatz killed someone with a wiener.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there. And I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Lebatard. Earlier in the show, the question was asked, what would Stugatz do with one invisible day.
Stugatz!
One day where he could be invisible. We decided that during banking hours, he would choose a weekday. He would rob all the banks in the universe from 8 to 5. And then at night, he would alter sporting event results by being an invisible man in games he had bet on.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Yo, what's up?
DeMarcus, how are you?
What's going on, man? Y'all got it looking nice over there, man.
Yeah.
Thank
Although
you.
Right now you are looking at partially an empty studio, so.
Well, then I tell you what, an empty studio over there on y'all side look good to me.
I feel like Bill Parcells would not approve of our tardiness policy. Like there's a, there's an acceptance of tardiness here that this probably not probably doesn't fly in the NFL, would be my guess.
Bill always told me, if you're on time, your ass is late.
that is not the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz method of operation.
What would he say if you're just late? You're cut?
You know, you get fined $7,000 for every single minute that you're late.
$7,000?
$7,000. Like, seriously.
Really?
Who kept it?
We put it in a pool at the end of the season, so... I remember when we were in Denver, one guy got fined $332,000 for being overweight because it was $375 per pound. And, you know, that's just talking about fines right now. But, you know, he got fined like $330,000, which was crazy. But I got fined one time for $7,000, so that's why I know. And it does come out of your check, and it's like an end-of-the-year fund that they use.
So you were 1 minute late, and it cost you $7,000.
Coming from treatment. You heard what I just said? Coming from physical therapy, and the PT guys brought me in, and I was still fined $7,000.
That's incredible. What is the sum total of fines that you is it just $7,000 that you accrued over your career? Like, do coaches fine for other stuff?
I mean, the league fines for roughing the passer. I know that.
Especially more now. That must drive you crazy, right? You must think, like, how does anyone play defensive end anymore?
You know what? I see some of these penalties right now, and these guys getting fined $25,000. I'm like, what? He barely even slammed him. I'm like, oh no! If I'm gonna get fined $25,000, I'm gonna make sure he knows that $25,000 worked there.
DeMarcus, how the hell do you look so good, man?
Listen, man, waking up at 5:30 every morning and having only one drink a week, I think that might be the youth water
still
of the year.
Still 5:30. Still
5:30.
That's not the amazing part. Is it one day of drinking a week or one drink a week?
One day of drinking a week that can also cure me the whole week. You see what I'm saying? It's levels to
gotcha,
it.
Gotcha.
Right.
Pack all your days into one day.
What's that one day look like for DeMarcus Ware?
You know what? That's my, I call it my treat day. I don't say cheat day. I probably have about 6 donuts, a whole pizza.
Wow.
16 to be exact, hot wings, fries.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, something sweet. I don't know exactly what that is. Maybe a carrot cake or a Gigi's cupcake. I'm noticing that I like to eat my food, right?
Oh, man.
Why 16? Why not 17? Why not 15? 16 is the perfect
that's
number?
That's the order on Papa John's is 8 and 8. So I get 2 orders of those hot wings, so that's why I know it's 16. Hey,
you know what? The order of wings has moved from round numbers to basically an amount that's either too small for a full meal or too big for a full meal, so they can get you to pay more. So it's like $12 for 7 wings or $21 for 14. Whatever happened to 5 and 10? 5 and 10 is the perfect amount for either appetizer size or full meal size.
It was 6
a full meal is
or
10.
Dozen. It was half dozen or dozen. It always used to come in dozens, the wings. Now they're mixing up these numbers.
8.
8 is
arbitrary. 8's not a meal, but 16 is too much. It's ridiculous.
Not for me, but for you, yes.
For us mere mortals.
Taxing the wings from you.
DeMarcus, do you switch up the flavors? You go half and half, or you go just all hot wings?
You know what? I do, sometimes I do just a straight up dry rub, or I do mild, or I do the lemon pepper. You got the garlic. And every once in a while, I got to throw the buffalo in there.
No barbecue?
Oh, yeah. I'm more buffalo. Yeah, a little bit of barbecue. Yeah, everybody's barbecue is not like the South.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what's the South like? Explain the difference there with the barbecue. Why is your barbecue better than my barbecue?
Yeah, exactly. So your barbecue will probably have like a sweet maple taste to it while you're playing around. I actually made some barbecue sauce. Me and Bo Jackson, we had a barbecue sauce cook-off.
Oh, wow.
So
But
if you go down south, it's more like a mustard vinegar mm-hmm. taste.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. So you got to think I'm playing around. See, I like to eat. See, so yeah, I see y'all laughing over it.
I'm with you. I like that that tangy barbecue sauce is where it's at, Stugatz.
Bo knows barbecue. I mean, how about that?
It's either Carolina or Georgia.
DeMarcus, I thought that was interesting what Chris asked you earlier. Would you want to play in today's NFL where you can't touch the quarterback?
I would figure out how to touch the quarterback. In a way to where he still knows that I'm there, but it's hard because I see some penalties, guys, they don't want to hit the quarterback, but then you got a guy like Josh Allen that maybe you don't hit this guy, he's going to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw a couple times, which you probably can pull the tape up, but guys will like jump out of the way and he runs for 30. And I'm like, that's because the roughing passing penalties have happened and guys are scared to hit the quarterback down.
Do you think there's a way to do it that won't get penalized? Like, as you watch the game now, you're like, man, if I was playing, I'd do it this way, and that would work.
There's no way because I'm going to go low on the quarterback. Ah, they're going to protect his legs. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to go up high. What if my helmet grazes his head?
Mm.
That's roughing the passer. So, for me, I would probably start thinking more about the strip sack, knocking the ball out.
Right.
Because quarterbacks know they're not going to get hit. I mean, they got to feel something. And I think the biggest thing is when you can get that forced fumble, it doesn't matter.
DeMarcus, I said yesterday that I imagined Sean Payton, after the Cowboys lose, that he's sitting on Jerry's porch, if indeed he has a porch, and I believe that he does. Well, you've been to his house, you would probably know. And I have him sitting there in some sort of nightie sleepover with a lantern, just waiting for Jerry to get home. Do you think, you know, Jerry very, very well. What do you think he's thinking right now in terms of head coach?
Keeping everything the same. I think rattling the head coach situation. I mean, the guys have gotten confidence in McCarthy and everybody else that's there, especially like since that COVID time and getting out of that and then figuring out the team identity. And I feel like they have it now. But I also know Jerry, if he's going to change one thing, it's going to be everything.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
All the coaches, the training staff, everything. He's just going to ruffle the feathers of everybody over there. But I don't think he wants to do that right now with them getting so close
right.
in the playoffs like that. I think he'll keep it the same.
As a defender, what was your reaction when you saw the Cowboys line up for the final play of the game against the
49ers? I was thinking about an old Bill Belichick play, because Bill Belichick used to, you know, spread all the guys out and they would do crazy, you know, special team plays. And I'm like, hold on, but this is the last play of the game. And as a defensive guy, I would line up right in front of Zeke, knowing that he's snapping, and just go straight at the quarterback. Like, let me be the guy that's going to create that pressure and make him have to loft it up to my guys back there in the back. But I don't know exactly what that play was about, but at the end of the day, I don't know. I know we lost that game, and I'm still feeling that.
I'm not certain the guys on the field knew what that play was about.
Yeah, sometimes you guys got to try to throw everything at the kitchen sink, and hopefully it works, but, you know, it didn't work that way.
DeMarcus Ware, Hall of Fame finalist. So I will tell you this. The last time I got behind a Hall of Fame finalist, it was Tony Boselli. And Tony and I went in together, okay?
We do.
So if you would like me to get behind you and we go in together, which means I'm part of your speech, I'm part of the whole crew that goes up there. I mean, I sat right next to Tony's wife for his speech. If you want me to get behind you, DeMarcus Ware, because I believe that you should be in the Hall of Fame and you should be in there this year. If you'd like me to get behind you, I'm telling you I will. But it's going to cost you. No,
I like it's going to cost you part. I tell you what, you're already behind me.
Yes.
You got me on your show. We're having an interview right now. So you're already behind me. So I feel like I already have been blessed with your graces of DeMarcus. Last guy that I was talking to, he went in. Yes. Hopefully it works the same way.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to get behind you. Do you play golf, by the way?
If I can golf every day, I would.
Oh, I love you.
Sit there with you alone.
All right.
I mean, I hate it some days, but if I can golf every day, I would.
Okay.
So you know when you want to swing those sticks now.
Oh, okay. That's it. That's how you pay me back. Okay. I am going to help you get into the Hall of Fame. You did, because you didn't do enough. Okay. So I am going to help you get into the Hall of Fame. A little extra push. Okay. Me and you will go in together. We'll have a great weekend in Canton. Canton's a weird place, but it doesn't matter. We digress.
The 138 and a half career sacks wasn't enough?
No.
A little
support.
Extra
there's
push.
A lot of sacks.
Yeah.
The nine Pro Bowls.
All I'm angling for here, because Chris Cody wants me to, is that we play a round of golf. Me, you, and my friend Chris Cody, who's one of the producers here, on the show. Is that fair? I feel like it's a fair exchange. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for anything. I just want to play around the golf.
If you're keeping track at home, Stugatz is now basically finagled a way to play golf with DeMarcus Ware, go to Canton with him, and then also blamed it on Chris Cody because Chris is the one that wants to golf. Stugatz is just here to help.
Well, Chris wants to do this golf show on YouTube in Arizona, and we need like a big-time guy. And DeMarcus Ware is going to be a Hall of Famer. Yes.
So now you're throwing the marketing part in there too.
Yes. You're a big Hall of Famer. I mean, you know, let's do it. We good?
I'm in.
You are in. You're in the Hall of Fame. Yes.
DeMarcus, I would be careful.
Hopefully we can say that later.
Stugatz thinks that his endorsement is worth like an extra 5 sacks on your record. I think it might actually be a minus to some people, so I would just tread lightly if I were you.
Baselli got in spite of Stugatz, not because of him.
Exactly.
Listen, Baselli embraced all the Stugatz, but you're right. I mean, wait, your golf buddies with Freeney?
You know what? Freeney actually invited me down to go play at Jordan's course, so I need to make it down there with him. I played with him in Tahoe. Dude, the white swings out of his shoes.
I know.
Like, you don't understand. Like, he's hitting the ball like 300 some yards.
No, I played at Jordan's course with him. I know.
Dude, you're right, and it looks weird, right?
I'm also, I'll play it. Hold on a second, DeMarcus. I'm sorry. And yes, it looked weird. Hold on. He invited me. Now I'm helping Freeney get into the Hall of Fame as well. I mean, I'm helping a bunch of people. But yes, he invited me to Jordan's course, and you're exactly right. Because when I showed up, he's on the driving range in sneakers. He was wearing Jordans, a pair of gym shorts and a t-shirt, and he was hitting the ball 330 yards and Ahmad Rashad right next to him saying, I've never seen someone, you can hit it again. I've never seen somebody hit a ball so far in my entire life. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. How far are you hitting it? Like 310, 320?
No, man, I'm probably consistent 290. I can hit it 290 easy.
All right.
I'm trying to hit it straight. It's not, you know how that driver gets sometimes a little swirly. So I'm just trying to hit it straight down the fairway and then being able to get a good wedge shot in.
Now, did you start playing when you were in the league, or was this one of those things you picked up in retirement?
In retirement, I wish I would have played when I was in the league, because the thing is, man, there's so many people that you can meet, you know, on the golf course. So it's tranquil. Like, I mean, I'm from the South. I like being outside, and that's like my new hunting time for me. I'm like, when I go out there, y'all don't understand. If you are an avid golfer, when I'm out there, I mean, everything else just stops. Time just stops, and I'm out there in my own space. So it's amazing, man.
Yeah, it's. It's a lot of fun. It's also a good escape from the family, at least for me. I mean, phones don't work, you know. DeMarcus, go ahead and make a case for you being a Hall of Famer. Like, go sell yourself, make a claim for yourself being a Hall of Famer. Why should you be in the Hall of Fame this year? Because I believe you should be, and I'm going to help you get in there. But you make the case, okay?
That's a good question. I think that in the world today, people think that first means everything. And people need to understand that a guy like me, first has never been given to me. And we sort of got to recharacterize what the image of first is. And I think that we all should, thinking about, you know, like you're saying, that talk about why, is nothing's never been given to me. And this is an opportunity for me to show the world that the hard work and the sacrifices that I've been through, the resume is there. But why not enshrine a characteristic of what it really should be like? Not just a first ballot Hall of Fame type thing last year, but failure. Failure in a way to where you use that failure to build a more positive outlook to do something great. And so for me, it's look at the resume, knowing where I came from, the championships that I've won, and the captain. I've been captain for 12 years. Mm-hmm. So just look at that and weigh that against all the guys that are up there right now.
What was the moment of the biggest moment of doubt for you in your career when you thought to yourself, man, I don't know if this is going the way I want it to?
I think that was in college, because I remember going home one day and I went to a party, and I remember picking up this knife on the ground from a fight, and a guy actually held a gun to my head. Yeah. Mm. And I thought to myself, this not me. And I actually told him that. I said, you know, this isn't me. I dropped the knife and I never came back home. I didn't come back home because I knew that's what was waiting for me. And I think that was that changing moment for me to let me know that you need to go out and make some change and get more serious about, because I was going to drop out of school. My sophomore year, I was like, man, this isn't for me. I was going to join the military. But, you know, that moment let me know that I still have some life in me and I need to do something with it.
How'd you arrive at that moment where there's a knife, there's a gun involved? Like, how did that come about? What was going on there?
I grew up in the projects in Auburn, Alabama, and my uncle actually, it was a fight, like a house party fight. And, you know, all of a sudden I saw him get hit across the head with a pistol, and I looked at the ground and the knife was there. So I just picked the knife up. But the guy probably thought that I was going to try to cut him or so on and so forth. But I mean, we're looking up and, you know, the gun was right there between my eyes. And I just said, you know, this isn't me. And so he actually put the gun down, and it's crazy, probably about 10 years ago, he apologized about it. But that was like one of those things where I was like, shh.
Life changing.
It was that.
So the flip side of that question is, what was the moment when you realized, oh, not only am I good, I'm one of the greatest ever to do this?
I think that time is now.
Really?
I mean, being a finalist in the Hall of Fame class. Mm. And they're saying that not only are you part of that, whatever, 1% or whatever it is, I don't know exactly what that percentage is. When you play, there's potential. But when you retire and you're able to be maybe enshrined in a way to where your sacrifices live forever, that's when you know you really made it.
Wow. So you never, like, while you were playing, you never...
You didn't know how dominant you were?
Yeah, you're like, come on, man.
I played every single play scared, in fear that somebody's going to take my job, that the next man across from me owes me something. And to be honest with you, I owe this man this ass kicking because I had to study you for 40 hours this week. Yes, this is what you're going to have to get. Like, that's how I felt against every single person that I went against. Like, I owe you this. I had to study you for 40 to 60 hours. Cool. I'm going to show you exactly what I had to study.
But like DeMarcus, that's amazing to me. And Amin, I think. Like, 120 sacks in, you didn't realize, hey, I'm really good at this? Like,
I knew that.
Right.
But when you come from nothing, mm-hmm. you always feel, you're always hungry. I'm never, like, full. I'm always hungry. So no matter what, for my last play when I played, I was just at that point where, like, you know, I still have more in the tank. But I know that my body couldn't do it anymore.
Now you're just hungry one day a week.
There we go. I had to cut the diet down, all right?
24 wings are in your future, I think.
Oh, man.
Oh, I can eat 24 now. Don't get me wrong.
Most in one sitting?
Most in one sitting, I would say probably about 40.
Damn, my God.
About 40. I mean, I can eat, you know, 2 cheeseburgers, fries. I can eat 20 wings easy. I eat about 6,000 calories a day. So that's nothing.
How many, like, have you thought about it? Like, if you get into the Hall of Fame, you're going to celebrate how? How many wings? Like, what are we doing?
Oh, 94.
All right, I'll help you get in. I'll help you eat the 94 wings if you want to, okay?
Well, I owe you 10 anyways for getting me in, like you just said. So I'll give you 10.
Oh, man. By the way, I'm looking at your bio here. I have a hard time. Like, I just can't imagine you doing the long jump. Yet you were really good doing the long jump.
Dude, I actually made state in long jump and then made state in baseball in the same year. So I went from the track meet and then put my baseball clothes on and then went to the state, with like semifinals or something like that. It was right across the street at the same school. So it was long jump. That was my forte. I mean, I had a 38, 39 inch vert, something crazy like that.
Man.
And 7 foot wingspan. So it's jumping out the gym and doing that was my forte.
DeMarcus Ware is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is also starring in a new episode of Life After, which spotlights a different former NFL player in each episode that is streaming now on Amazon Prime Video. DeMarcus Ware, thank you for joining us.
Hey, y'all, take care.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.